Cook, good morning to you, but let's give everybody a second to get in and out of the auditorium.
Absolutely.
I think we have accomplished that now, so Mr. Cook, you may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes if I can at this time. Good morning, Supreme Court Justices and Chief Justice Sevigan. My name is Justin Cook, and I am here this morning on behalf of the appellant in this matter, the original petitioner, Heath Scheriger, who is appealing the decision to deny his CCW, or Concealed Carry Weapon Permit, pursuant to the Nebraska Concealed Handgun Permit Act. In this particular matter, this entire case is hinging essentially...
You might adjust your microphone just a little bit.
You say I'm short?
I'm saying we can't hear you.
Excellent. Okay. Is that better?
Yes.
Thank you.
Counsel, as I understand your brief, your argument is that my client was convicted in Oklahoma. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. But that conviction, because it's not similar to our statute, is not applicable to deny him a concealed handgun permit. Is that a fair statement of your entire argument?
That's a fair statement.
Okay. And what do you think the word similar, give me your definition of similar.
Similar to myself, obviously, because I'm here on behalf of my client, is that we have no similar statutes within the state of Nebraska that would make what my client was convicted of illegal. This is an open carry state. He was open carrying.
Well, there is a statute. The statute's on the loaded shotgun in a vehicle, right. Correct?
Involving shotguns.
And okay, and the Oklahoma statute has shotguns, rifles, and pistols, correct?
That's
so
correct.
You're saying that because we don't have pistols and rifles, it's not similar. Is that a fair statement?
Yes and no.
Okay, what's the no part?
The no is the fact that the statute in the state of Oklahoma is under the criminal code. Okay, they made it criminal what my client did. That's why he was convicted of a criminal act. In Nebraska, it is not criminal what he was doing. And in Nebraska, the loaded shotgun, which is what the state is trying to pigeonhole here, because they only have three options. They have the three statutes that are provided for as exceptions under the code, chapter 37 or section 37, and they're trying to pigeonhole my client into that by saying we have a similar law, whereas you cannot have a loaded shotgun. Well, shotguns, handguns, by definition are not the same. They're not even close to being similar. I guess they both shoot projectiles. But
well, isn't it the purpose of this act to not give handguns to people who don't appear to respect the law? And wouldn't your client's conviction in Oklahoma be a clear indication that he didn't respect the law with regard to firearms?
That is an interesting question, and I would answer that by saying yes to your initial portion of the question, but no to the latter portion in that, and I know it's not an excuse if you're speeding down the highway and you don't know what the speed limit is, you think it's something else, and you get it, you're obviously going to be cited for it. Under this particular instance, he was operating under the idea that it was an open carry state. Obviously it wasn't. He found that out the hard way. But Under the circumstances we find ourselves, we're comparing something under game and park statutes to the criminal code of another state. And I think if you look to the actual intent of the legislature in this particular case, they were just simply looking, if you look at all the elements within the statute, section 69-2433, other than where do you live, are you a citizen, can you see, and are you over the age of 21, it all has to do with propensity of violence, which this court in Underwood versus the Nebraska State Patrol addressed and said that you believe the purpose of the Nebraska Vice Statute Section 69-2433 is to prevent people of a demonstrated propensity propensity to commit crimes, including crimes involving acts of violence from carrying concealed weapons, so as to minimize the risk of future gun violence.
But committing crimes, and that's a broad scope there, that some of the crimes may not be particularly acts of violence, but it indicates that you don't have respect for the law, and therefore if you carry a gun or issued a permit to carry a gun, you may not have respect for the law when you do that.
That's possible.
Isn't that the intent of the law?
Could you say
that
once again?
Isn't that the intent of the law?
I believe...
Is to give a basis on why we should or should not give people the right to carry guns if, in fact, they have indicated or shown a propensity not to violate or to violate the law in other states with regard to carrying firearms?
I think that, yes, that is true.
And it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a violent act, does it?
No, there are some felonies, which all felonies take you out. It could be a white-collar crime. If it's a felony, you cannot get a concealed carry permit. I understand that, and it's not an exact science. However, it's our position that the intent of the legislature, I mean, had they not wanted to put in or similar to any other law in our state, why did they just leave it out? Because the Nebraska State Patrol simply rubber stamps everything that comes through if a weapon, or not even a weapon, if a firearm was involved in any way, shape, or form in another jurisdiction within the last 10 years, regardless of whether or not we even get to the point we are right now that I'm with, you know, justice.
Are you arguing that it has to be a violent act committed with respect to the firearm that makes this statute applicable to Nebraska?
I'm not arguing that the statute has to specifically include violent related language or elements of that type. What I'm saying is that the actual, like, overreaching goal for this process, for the Nebraska Handgun or Concealed Handgun Act, was to keep people with the propensity for violence from getting handguns.
So you're saying even if 37.522 were similar to, was it Oklahoma Section 21, even if, right, nevertheless, prior conviction didn't demonstrate violence, and therefore it shouldn't exclude it?
Well, I'm going to have a hard time even submitting or agreeing with the fact that it's similar, because me, it is not. A shotgun and a handgun are not remotely close to the same device through length, through the projectile, generally speaking, although now they have ones that can shoot like a shotgun shell, I guess, that come out of a handgun. But the purpose of, if anyone in here hunts and are familiar with it, the purpose is to not have people driving around hunting on the roads and shooting from their vehicles and having their dogs jump on their guns and discharging them and having people yank guns out. It's dangerous.
Counselor, are you suggesting the statute needs to be almost the exact language?
Excuse me?
Are you suggesting the statute from another state has to be almost exact as ours?
I don't think they have to be exact, which comes to the argument that the state has been bringing, which
okay,
is that they don't have to be identical.
How do we define that gray area?
I think what this court should do, in my opinion, is look to see if we have a similar law here as to what he was convicted of in that jurisdiction involving handguns.
I apologize for interrupting, but haven't we gone full circle back to my very first question of what is similar? Because now we're back to similar, and you said they're not similar, but you're not asking for exact. So help us out. What are you asking us to do?
Ultimately, what I would like this court to look at is, do we have on the books and in the future, when this is applied, a law similar to what he was actually convicted of, with the circumstances being presented at that time, involving, in this situation, handguns. They're in plain view.
So you want our statute to apply to handguns, or, I mean, the other, if we had a law as to handguns and the other state had a law as to handguns, then you think that's similar. It's the shotgun versus the handgun that you're having trouble with.
That is certainly one of the primary issues here. That and the fact that we're comparing apples to oranges, we're comparing criminal statutes to game and parks related statutes.
That's what I want to ask you about, because the game and parks statute contains, the very section contains a criminal penalty, correct? It's classified as a class 3 misdemeanor.
Correct.
And it doesn't make any difference, does it, whether it's in chapter 28 or in chapter 37, they're both criminal penalties.
That is correct, but there's an, and then you're stepping into another arena where you need to look at, okay, what was the intent here with that? And that is for safety, hunting safety. That is to keep individuals from shooting from highways. That's to keep individuals, I would argue, from putting themselves in positions where they're shooting their hunting buddy or their dog shooting them, where these other circumstances are taking place.
Are you looking to us to look to the specifics of what your client was convicted of in Oklahoma, that is, that it wasn't a shotgun?
I don't even, my answer to that would be yes. However, I don't think you even need to get there in this particular case.
Okay. So if we're not inclined to look at the specifics of the conviction and we're only looking at the statute, you think you still prevail based upon the one applies only to shotguns and the Oklahoma one applies to shotguns and handguns?
Yes, but I'm obviously in a position where my mind is leaning that direction, obviously, Justice. But essentially what I'm getting at under the circumstances is that, and the argument to that is in Underwood, essentially, within those set of circumstances under subsection 5, this court said we're not inclined to look at the circumstances. I would interpret that to say within that particular case, it didn't say under anything. I think by the mere circumstances of subsection 8, you have to, because it says or any similar. And if it's similar, I think
similar
you need to look at the circumstances.
It's not
well.
Similar conviction. It says similar statute, doesn't it?
I would argue no. It's not similar statute.
Okay.
It's written in English, and it includes some of the same sorts of verbiage, but other than that, it's not similar.
In Underwood, did we tend to say let's compare the elements, not the facts?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Smith, good morning to you.
Good morning. May it please the court, James Smith, Assistant Attorney General representing the appellee, Nebraska State Patrol in this case. The issue in this case is whether an Oklahoma conviction for transporting a loaded rifle, pistol, or shotgun in a motor vehicle on a highway is similar to the Nebraska law prohibiting having a loaded shotgun in a vehicle on a highway.
Counsel, same question to you. How should we define the word similar in this situation? Because it's not defined by the statute.
Similar, and I think in this case, the district court did an excellent job of answering that question as far as the district court's analysis. What the district court says is both statutes prohibit transportation of loaded firearms in a vehicle on the highway. The district court said that, contrary to the petitioner's argument, similar does not mean identical. And on the last page of the district court's order, it said that this subsection serves to identify and prevent people that previously violated the rules regarding firearms from obtaining a permit. An examination of the act as a whole clearly indicates that the legislature intended permits to be issued to those who have proven they can handle firearms responsibly. And I would submit that similar means resembling, but without being identical, analogous, comparable, when you look at the purpose of the statute, which I think the district court in her order just totally nailed that. Contrary to the appellant's argument, the court does not look at the facts underlying the conviction. The court's decision in Underwood made that clear expressly. The court said, initial matter, we note there's nothing in the plain language of the statute which invites us to examine the particular facts underlying the convictions. And the court said, accordingly, We look to the elements of the statutes underlying the convictions. So as far as their argument or his argument to look at the facts, Underwood has totally rejected that. That's not what the statute provides. It talks about comparing the laws, not the facts underlying crimes.
Mr. Smith, the statute about the permit, 6923 or 2433 sub 8, on which you rely, expressly makes a conviction of section 37-522, our carrying a loaded shotgun statute, a violation or a disqualifying event, correct?
Yes, I would agree with that.
And when we then go on to the similar law of another state, every act that would be covered by our 37-522 would be covered by the Oklahoma statute, correct?
That's true, and on the face of the statute, since it talks about rifle, pistol, shotgun in their alternative.
The Oklahoma statute covers more, would be the distinction.
It's broader as far as including rifles,
right,
and pistols, but they are certainly comparable as reflected by the district court's order that they both are talking about transporting firearms that are loaded. And the rationale as far as if you're going to give a permit to someone to carry a weapon that's concealed, you're going to want to give it to a person who can be trusted to follow firearms law. A conviction in another state for not following firearms law should be, and under the statute, is a disqualifier, and the district court properly found. Contrary to counsel's argument about the state patrol rubber stamping denials, we're not here on the review of the state patrol's decision. We're here on a review by the district court, and the district court did take care to analyze this, so this is not simply a rubber stamp. This is a review of the district court's very well-drafted order.
And what's our standard of review?
Your standard of review would be essentially if the court's finding is not supported by competent evidence and is otherwise contrary to law. I don't believe there's any dispute as far as there being a conviction, so really it defers to it's a matter of law and comparing the statutes. Unless the court has additional questions, we believe the district court order, it was very well drafted, should be affirmed.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal, so that concludes oral arguments for the day. And normally I would say at this point the court is adjourned, and I guess the court is adjourned. Counsel may stay or go as you please, but what we like to do at this point in time is to allow students to ask questions of the court, with the caveat that we can't talk about the cases that that you witnessed and we heard today.